For several weeks, those of you who are members here and who attend here regularly know that I've been preaching a series of lessons on the importance of relationships and how we need each other and depend upon each other to help make it through this life safely into the life to come. On several occasions, I have said, and maybe you will remember having heard this phrase a few times in recent weeks, that together is better. Would you say that with me? Together is better. Again, together is better. Now, I don't know if you really believe that or not, but I do. And I believe that Scripture teaches that together is better. One of the ancient Jewish books of wisdom, we call it the book of Ecclesiastes. It's actually the passage from which I've built this series of lessons on relationships. Out of that passage comes that series where Solomon said, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, Solomon says, two can defend themselves. I'm convinced that God created us and intended for us to live together in community with Him and each other. God created, Scripture says, Adam and Eve, placed them in a beautiful place. We call it the Garden of Eden. And His instructions to them were, love each other, live together as husband and wife, populate the earth, and enjoy what I have given you. God's intent was that Adam and Eve and their descendants live in community with Him and with each other. Sin, though, once it entered the picture, disrupted all of that. It disrupted their community with God, and it disrupted their community with each other. God's intent, I believe, was for us to live together in fellowship and communion with Him and each other. But sin came into the picture and separated His creation from Himself and also made it difficult for His creation to live and accept each other, as evidenced by the fact that so often we fight, we riot, we rape, we gossip, we denigrate, we lie, we cheat, we steal from each other. Life here is not often the community, the harmonious community we would hope that it would be. It's not what God wanted. It's not what God intended. And I'm convinced, even though it's difficult for us to live together in harmony in a community sense, we still recognize, I think, deep inside that together is better. There is an innate desire, I believe, in each one of us to belong to a place, as the old Cheers song used to say, where everybody knows my name. There is within each of us, I believe, and this is how God, I believe, has shaped us and designed us, there is a desire for community, a place where I can belong. Now, sometimes because of our experiences in life, we may think we don't need that. Maybe we've been burned by someone. Maybe life has not been kind. And it's kind of pushed us in the direction of thinking, well, if that's the way it's going to be, I just don't need anybody. I'll just go by myself. I don't need you. I don't need anybody. I'll make it on my own. Life sometimes pushes us in that direction to pull back, to isolate, to think, I don't need anybody else. But I'm convinced that is a lie of our enemy. He wants us to believe that we can go it alone. He wants us to believe we don't need anybody else. He wants us to think that we're isolated from others, that we don't need a community where people know our name. But that, I'm convinced, is a lie. God has designed us in such a way that we need each other. The truth is, we don't do life well, isolated and by ourselves. We need the encouragement of a Barnabas. We need the friendship of a Jonathan. We need truth speakers in our lives like Nathan. We need mentors to look up to like the Apostle Paul. We need each other. We need a place to belong. God, I'm convinced, knows that. And so through Christ, He has made it possible not only for us to be reconciled to Him, but also to each other. He has invited us not only into a relationship with Him, but into a relationship with others, a redeemed community of believers. Paul speaks a little bit to this in the book of Galatians. The scripture was read for us earlier. If you want to look at it again, you're welcome to do so. I'm only going to kind of mention it in passing. But if you want to open your scriptures and look at this verse or two, you're welcome to do that as I talk about it just briefly. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and following, Paul speaks a little bit to this redeemed community of which we can now belong. He says in verse 26, you, talking to churches in a region known as Galatia, he says, you are all sons and daughters of God. Now, physically, we're not related. Well, some of us are. In a church like this, actually, several of us are related to each other. So I better back up a little bit on that. Some of us here this morning are related, but we're not all related to each other this morning, are we? Do something for me. On the count of three, and somebody be going to say, you're not going to say this out loud, but on the count of three, say your family name. One, two, three. Do it again. Put a little gusto behind it. One, two, three. I honestly could not make out a single name. That's pretty cool because I thought surely I would make out one or two, but it was just a, is this a word? Cacophony. Is that right? Who are my English people? Virginia. She's not here. I needed her today and she's not here, Paul. Is that a word? What? Oh, Becca, you don't know. What do you know? You're not a teacher. Pat. cacophony. Thank you. Thank you. Is that what that was? Oh, pretty much. Okay. We're not all, we got different names, different family traditions, different backgrounds, different experiences, different views of life, different views even of church, different expectations. We're different. We're different people. But there is a way of bringing all these differences together under one roof. And his name is Jesus. Paul says, we are all sons and daughters of God because we all agree about how to do church. No, that's not what unites all of us, because we're different on some of that. We're all sons and daughters of God because we have the same life experiences. No, we don't. Not at all. Paul says we are all sons and daughters of God. You look at it. What does it say? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Do this. Who makes us one? One, two, three. Some said Christ, some said Jesus. Same guy. We are sons and daughters of God through our faith in Christ. Christ pulls all of us together. And so Paul is able to go on and say in that passage that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. Now there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ. The bad news is sin has distorted and disrupted not only our relationship with our Creator, but our relationship with one another. The good news is that through Jesus and His sacrifice and His life and His resurrection, we can now be reconciled to God and to each other. Now we can become part of this redeemed community, which unites us under the umbrella of Christ. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That God, through Jesus, can bring together people as different as we are, to where for a while we can put aside our differences and worship our Creator and encourage each other. This redeemed community that Paul talks about here, that's known elsewhere in Scripture as the church. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. And it's not talking about a building. It's not talking about that building on that screen there, that physical building in which we are sitting this morning. That's not the church. That's the church building. It's not the church. Here is the church, the ecclesia, literally the called out ones, those who have been called out of the world into this relationship with God, where we've now been redeemed and reconciled with Him and with each other. We are now His people. The church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, a community of believers. And in this community, this church, this ecclesia that belongs to God, we love each other. We're called to forgive each other. We're called to live at peace with one another. We're called to fellowship with each other. We're called to pray for each other. We're called to carry each other's burdens. In short, we're called to do life together. Together is better. That is what God intends for His people. Here in the redeemed community of God, we find our Jonathans. We find our Nathans. We find our Pauls and our Timothys and our Barnabases and those other relationships that we need in order to be the people of God in this community. The University Church of Christ is but one part of that universal body of Christ known as the church, the ecclesia, the called out of God. And here, in this fellowship, we are doing our best with His help to love each other, to welcome each other, to encourage each other, to serve together in ways that honor God and bring glory to Him and are helpful to people. In short, here in this community, in this location, we are committed to being the people of God. Every Sunday we're together, we celebrate that. In communion, like we took a moment ago, we're calling attention to the fact that we're now one in Christ. Communion highlights our oneness, that Jesus unites us and that He's among us and He's working in us and we're committed to Him and we're committed to being His people and we rely and trust on Him and His promises and His grace. Today, though, we have kind of want to ratchet it up a notch or two and do something that even beyond the normal that we do on Sundays when we celebrate our oneness, we want to call attention in a special way to people who've recently joined us. Those who've either begun a walk with Christ in recent weeks or months, or those who've maybe come here from other places, from another community, or from another congregation, and you've expressed a desire to belong to this church. We want to do something special today to welcome those individuals into our assembly and into the life of this church. And so in just a moment, we're going to call attention by name to those that have become part of this family in recent months, as well as who've begun their walk with Christ. If you'd let me, I want to speak heart to heart to two or three groups of people that may be gathered under this roof in this building today. First of all, to those of you who are Christians, who've made a confession of Christ, who've identified with Him through baptism, who belong to God's family, but who presently at this time do not belong to any particular part of God's family. Can I say something specifically to that population this morning? It may be that you're with us because something painful has happened somewhere else. Maybe you've left a church where there was some fighting going on. Maybe you've left because of family reasons. Something happened and it was just easier for you to go somewhere else. We want you to know you're welcome here. Sometimes you just need a place to go and recover. And so we want you here. We want to minister to you. We want to love on you. We want to serve you. We want to help you. We want to be God's people to you. But I would add this. At some point when you're ready, if this is the place where you feel loved, if this is the place where you feel the Spirit of Christ at work, we want you to know at some point you need to put some roots down and make a commitment to a local body of Christians. I'm convinced it is not good in general for Christians to just float from one place to another. There comes a point in our lives when we need to put down some roots. and we need to make a commitment not only to God, but to God's people. And we need to begin to share ourselves with God's people and let them share their lives with us. There comes a point where we need to become part of a family that we can touch and feel and do life with. Now, maybe you're not ready for that. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're still wounded and you're still healing and you're getting there, and we get that. So we give you permission. Come in here, worship with us, get to know some of us. Find out whether this is the place where you can plug in and belong. But at some point, we want you to know, we want you to do more than just visit. We want you to become one of us and become part of this family. To those of you who are not disciples of Christ, and I know this population is much smaller, if you've never made a commitment to Christ, if you've never put your faith in Christ and confessed Him as Lord and identified with Him fully by being immersed in His name, we want you to know how important it is to do that. If you believe in Jesus, act on that faith. Demonstrate your faith in Jesus by confessing Him as your Lord. Embrace the life that He offers. It's called repentance, changing from the one that we're living to the one that He wants to give. And identify with Him fully by being immersed in His name. Begin your walk with Christ. And then let us help you. Let us together walk with the Lord and be His people. Now, to the third and largest group that's here this morning, and that is those of us who long ago made this our church family, I got a question for you too. And that question is this: what would this church be like if every other member here this morning brought the same level of commitment and passion and involvement to this church and what this church is trying to do for the Lord that you've brought today? What does it mean to you to be part of this family? Is this just a place to spend an hour or two on Sunday? Or is this really your church family? What if every other member in this church brought the same level of commitment and passion and involvement and participation to the things that are going on in this church as you're bringing? If everybody else brought to the table what you're bringing to the table, what would we be like as a church? What would we be doing in this community? What would we be known for? Now, that's a harder question. So I'm just going to leave it right there and let it percolate and let it sink into your heart. Is this really your church home with all that entails of loving and serving and forgiving and accepting your brothers and sisters, warts and all? And if God put something on your heart this morning, don't quench the Spirit. Listen to Him, whatever He may be urging you to do. And if we can help in any way, whether it's to help take your involvement up a notch or two, whether it's to begin a walk with Christ, whether it's to make this your church home where you can grow and serve and belong, whatever it may be, we want to help and be a blessing to you in whatever way we can be.